Good afternoon. Well, it's a pleasure to be here. I've been very impressed so far with everything I've heard, and I almost feel like everything that I'm ready to say has already been said, so we'll see if I have anything new to add. Sorry that Dr. Ross could not be here today. She is a fantastic presenter on this topic, but we are just letting her stay quarantined for the moment, hoping that she gets better soon. I'm going to speak about health impact assessment of Piedmont Hospital, which is a nonprofit hospital in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm going to address this in the context of how it relates to community health assessments and what that potentially means for developing work as you're trying to figure out how to look at health in the broader perspective. As a community benefit that can be brought about by having a hospital located in the community. Specifically going to talk about hospitals as anchor institutions and the impact that they can have if they are present influencing businesses, neighbors, and workers in the community. Our intent in this case specifically was to investigate what is the potential positive or negative effects that you can have as the hospital is sited, developed, grows, changes, has an influence on traffic and local businesses, local economy, and the people who come there. Now, when we talk about health, even though we're talking about a part of the medical care delivery system, we go much further than that. We're really trying to go to the root causes of health. And so we're actually talking about not just the presence or absence of disease, but the complete state of wellness in terms of mental, physical, and social health. And we're talking about the ability to be healthy, to realize your own health, to go after the things that are going to help you and your family stay healthy. So it's a very empowering community-based definition of health, and I want to keep that in mind as I go through the following background. In terms of the Affordable Care Act, we're seeing an actual case where that broader definition of health is starting to enter the mainstream. It's entering the funding stream, and it's an opportunity to bring about these sort of transformations where we can look at health in this prevention context. The ACA has provided the community transformation grants, which are have funded things like health impact assessment and other opportunities to change the built environment, the social environment, and the culture, as well as providing funding for policy changes and other analysis. Specifically, it's called on hospitals to become a source of community health assessments and health information and literacy, and health promotion. And we're seeing that this is emphasizes an opportunity to really move into the area of prevention, primary prevention, as we've been referring to it today, and health promotion. It provides new guidelines for those assessments as well, and defines what it means to do a community health assessment. And I want to add to that here, because it's going to be a learning experience, I think, for many people. And so we're talking about what does it mean to do that assessment and what can really be achieved. You know, can a hospital really get into health promotion in that perspective? Our work here should be able to provide some guidance into what is possible, both within the culture and the physical environment around the institution. One of the things that we have been looking at, for example, are the community health assessments. We do health impact assessment. The difference is subtle, and actually I don't think I can tell you exactly how they relate together. Maybe one is, maybe health impact assessment is part of a community health assessment, or maybe vice versa. But in this case, you can use health impact assessment to look at any setting in terms of health. It doesn't have to be healthcare. It doesn't have to be anything related to providing services. It can be transportation. It can be educational programs. It can be land use and zoning. It can be city ordinances. It can be state legislation regarding almost anything from economic policy, labor policy, agricultural policy, and beyond. Framing this in the term in context of health prevention takes us to this place where we're not just talking about medical care, but we're actually talking about the underlying causes of health, and that relates back to the environment, the genetics, and all of the determinants that lead to health behaviors and health outcomes. Partnerships are extremely important. As we've emphasized a little bit here already, talking about building these relationships between healthcare providers, the community members, and then also the experts in all of these other fields, and how that can bring together the different disparate bits of knowledge that we have about what causes what, and putting that into a context where we can say, hey, we need to create walkable environments. Well, we're going to have to get the land use division, we're going to have to get the planning researchers, we're going to have to get the transportation department, and we're going to have to get the community members who want to walk on this street up every day, and bring everybody together to talk about how that could be implemented in a particular setting. And if it's in front of, for example, an anchor institution, a local hospital, then that's the case where the hospital is also going to have a responsibility to be involved in that discussion. And then working with the community itself, that's kind of getting to the data question there. And that's a big one to wrestle with, and that's one that we deal with every single day because we're dealing with spatial settings. We're dealing with what is the sphere of influence of a particular project. Maybe it's a few neighborhoods. Maybe it's a city. It's probably not at the scale at which we actually have good health data. We're lucky when we get to work at something that's at the county scale because then we finally actually have some accurate data. But for the most part, you know, it's scrambling for stuff from the Census Bureau. It's scrambling for data from the health department and trying to put that together when their spatial references are different from ours and trying to integrate that all into a unique data set. So there's also a lot of data collection involved and a lot of community surveys and community outreach. So let's talk about the actual health determinants that we're interested in. We think about things like access to fresh foods, farmers markets, grocery stores. Think about traffic. We think about whether there are environmental health toxins, clean air or clean water, access to active transportation like walking or bicycling, whether children have safe places to play, whether people interact with other cultures, and whether they have an opportunity to meet their neighbors and to develop that sort of social capital, as it's been termed. Or is it everything mostly, is there an unsafe environment for traveling? Is there an unsafe environment for playing? Is there only convenience stores or fast food restaurants within easy distance of your home? But we also have this question of what creates those health determinants? What creates that built environment? And so at this point, we're getting into policy, we're getting into transportation plans, codes of ordinances, planning commissions, building construction standards, agricultural policy, site plans, and so many other policies. Even, you know, large economic policies, financial plans that we would never even begin to be able to think about how it might affect things, it really does reach down eventually and impact health. So in health impact assessment, we're asking the question, how can we take some sort of proposal, some policy, some project, something that somebody is planning to do or is in the process of doing, and actually assess what the effects on health not only are, but what they potentially could be in the future, who's going to be affected, and how can we come up with some sort of strategy for managing those impacts? What is the potential to take the negative impacts and mitigate them somehow? What's the opportunity to take the positive impacts and capitalize them and expand them and identify them? So the basic steps of health impact assessment, I'll just go through these pretty quickly. I know some of you are probably familiar with it, but some may not be. First of all, we do a simple screening just to determine, is this something that could potentially impact health? And is there something that we can impact by doing a health impact assessment on it. We don't want to waste our efforts because, you know, we're all working with limited time and money. But at the same time, there's a lot of decisions being made at any given moment that are going to impact health for the next decade, for the next several decades possibly, if we're talking about transportation infrastructure. So it's important to draw that line and focus on the most important things. Once you've started to undertake the health impact assessment, you do the scoping phase, which is that's where you need really good understanding of the health status of the community and also sort of their perspective on what is causing the problems, what's the underlying cause of health issues in the community. So you might be able to acquire some of the data. Some of it you have to go out and collect. We usually do surveys at this stage, as well as meeting with community leaders, for example. You also have to define what are the boundaries of the potential impacts here. So if you're looking at an institution, for example, you might be saying, well, the physical impact is these six neighborhoods around it. And the social impact is, you know, everybody lives within 2 miles or something like that. And then also, what are the potential effects it could have? The potential effects of school siting are going to be very different from the potential effects of a paid time off policy. And then you get into the appraisal and the assessment, and that is that's the fun stuff. That's where you get to hunker down and bury yourself under data for 6 months. And some of us like that sort of thing. And try and figure out, you know, you actually say, what are the evidence for this causal chain? What is the evidence that says that this issue might be causing this health outcome? And how conclusively can I say that? You know, there's some things where you say, well, we think there's a connection. There's other things where you can say, well, we're really sure that there's a connection. This is a high priority because we know it's going to impact. And then you can also ask, who's it going to affect? Is it more likely to affect vulnerable populations? Is it likely to affect a lot of people or just a few? And what is the magnitude of the effect going to be? Is it severe or is it minor, even if it's for a lot of people? From that, developing recommendations, and this is where we rely on a lot of work, for example, from the community the community guide, from other research that's been done out there. And some of it is, you know, can be potentially a little experimental. In some cases, we're making recommendations that we think will work, but honestly, we're going to have to come back and do some evaluation and see if they actually did have the effect that we hoped. Unfortunately, planning and transportation and some of these other fields are not areas where they're evaluating health at all. They're evaluating whether they were able to increase the car capacity on this road, but they're not measuring the effect on the people who live there or the effect on pedestrians who travel there. So developing recommendations can be a political process that it can be a little bit challenging at times. And then finally, you disseminate the results to the decision makers, which could be private developers, it could be architects, it could be city council people, it could be pretty much anybody, state legislators, and the community themselves, so that they can go out and understand what are the things that are actually affecting their health and advocate for changes. And then, as I said, monitoring and evaluation to see if this was, number one, if you were effective in delivering your message, and second, if it was effective in actually transforming health. So to get to our specific example here, which I'm sure was chosen because it deals with the nonprofit hospitals, Piedmont Hospital is a small but growing chain. Well, I wouldn't say small, but relative to some other systems. But they have a number of hospitals in the Atlanta region, and they are growing pretty rapidly at this location. And specifically, they have about 8,000 workers. This is in, if you have any inkling of Atlanta, it's just north of the Midtown area. You can kind of see from the picture that it's a sort of a built-up corridor, which is called Peachtree Street, which has some high-rises along it. But surrounding that are mostly low-density neighborhoods. The hospital itself relocated there in the 1950s sometime, I believe, and has slowly expanded the campus over the decades and have just built a new brain trauma research center. So it generates, you know, thousands of staff coming to the hospital every day, thousands of visitors, people coming from outpatient treatment, as well as then there are visitors to the inpatients. And then there are also a number of businesses, of course, that have grown up to support those drug stores and some restaurants that have located nearby. And the corridor itself is pretty high volume, so it has other stuff going on as well. Peachtree Street is proposed for a streetcar line at some point. There's no funding identified for that yet. Currently, in order to access the site by any means other than car, you can bike along a six-lane road, which I've done, and it's a little hair-raising. Or you can take a bus, which runs frequently, but simply crossing the street to get to the hospital then is actually pretty dangerous. The other project that's proposed around here is the Atlanta Beltline. We've also done a separate health impact assessment on that. That is a loop of transit trails, so it would provide walking and bicycling access, as well as transit service and other amenities. And I should add also at this point, Robert Wood Johnson funded our health impact assessment of the Atlanta Beltline, and they also funded the Piedmont Hospital health impact assessment. And so we're very grateful to that. It was one of the first HIAs done in the country. We also did a lot of outreach to neighborhood associations and to city officials. This shows the area of the boundaries of the study area, which were sort of naturally formed by roads and highways. Also, the blue is shown the Beltline corridor, and the yellow line is the nearest, current nearest rail station. Actually, let me go back for a second. The other thing I should probably point out here is the street network. This is an area that developed in the mid-20th century, and so it doesn't have sort of your traditional downtown grid system. It has a couple major roads that carry all of the traffic and very few through streets. We did collect a lot of data for this, including a survey that reached out and asked people about active transportation. Did they walk or bike to the grocery store, to restaurants, to the hospital? We had one woman who said that she had walked to the hospital when she was in labor to give birth, which I thought was pretty cool. And we also went out and did a walkability audit of the area. There are a lot of tools that are out there for evaluating the built environment, for evaluating physical activity, for evaluating public policies, and we're currently working on a Healthy Places audit. San Francisco has been using something called a Healthy Development Measurement Tool, which is extremely useful. So there are lots of ways out there for measuring these things that would otherwise be hard to find. But the data itself, you kind of have to collect it in that sense because, for example, there's very few cities that can maintain a sidewalk inventory. So if you want to find out if people can walk safely, you're going to have to go get that information yourself. Overall, this was a pretty well-off population, fairly well-to-do, pretty good access to cars. But we did identify several vulnerable populations shown in red here, which were lower income, more transit-dependent, and we also discovered that they were clustered around the hospital itself. So it could have been having sort of an influence that maybe it was a less desirable place to live next to and could be having an influence on the community in that manner. We did the walkability audit, and in some places there were nice, shady, that's important in the South, tree-lined streets, and in other places it was just sort of this degraded roadside environment where you have driveways and telephone poles and lots of obstacles and speeding cars. We came out with an extensive report, but we also wrapped it up in a one-page summary. We had lots of meetings with the community, but the problem with our meetings with the community is that the areas that had the wealthier homes were pretty well represented, and they had been trying to meet with the hospital for a long time. The hospital itself has had a pretty good outreach program. It was conducting sort of health literacy classes, having free immunization days, free screenings, But again, those people in the vulnerable population areas were not really getting engaged. Nobody was representing them. And we also realized that nobody was really representing the patients as a class, and nobody was representing the interests of the workers, not just at the hospital, they were somewhat organized, but also at all of the other businesses that were along the corridor, you know, restaurants and busboys and dishwashers and so forth. And I need to wrap up here. So I will just say that I think health impact assessment is one of these things that is really important to think about in terms of improving community health, because it really is it's getting at those underlying policies that come before any health determinants that are in place before somebody ever shows up in the doctor's office. So we need to be thinking about that so that we can actually prevent childhood obesity, ensure mobility for seniors, ensure that people have access to jobs or nutritious foods, and all of the other things that they need in order to live a healthy life, as well as the conventional outreach that we've already been starting to do. In this case, you know, we were able to come out with specific recommendations about reintegrating the hospital into the city block system so that it could make shorter travel distances, to reintegrate it with pedestrian facilities so that people could circulate within their own neighborhoods and get back and forth to the exits that were nearby. And we also realized that there was extensive potential cost benefits from this. As was discussed earlier, there were opportunities to really, you know, save a lot of money if you could reach out and produce a healthier environment nearby for your own workers, potentially for productivity, for people to be able to have access to jobs and to food, and to be able to start to reverse some of these epidemics in terms of lack of physical activity, in terms of poor air quality that we're seeing in health outcomes finally. So I will wrap up with that. I'm sure Dr. Ross were here, she'd have a lot to add for that. But I appreciate your time. Thanks a lot.